Welcome to the Essentially You podcast, where we explore the science of happiness and well-being to help coaches and coaching leaders bring out the best in themselves and those they serve. If you're looking for new approaches to serve your clients or looking to create a culture of positivity and well-being in your organization, join me, Mark Mathia, on a journey of discovery and inspiration. Hi friends, Mark Mathia here, and welcome to Essentially You. Did you know that professional coaching encompasses a range of principles and what I call presuppositions that guide coaching individuals to improve performance, achieve goals, and enhance personal and professional development? So if you're looking for a coach or perhaps being a coach, here are some fundamental principles and presupposition of what I would consider pro coaches to have. First, a client-centered approach. Professional coaching operates on the principles that clients are resourceful, creative, and that they're capable of solving their own challenges. The coach's role is to facilitate the client's self-discovery and personal growth through a client-centered approach. Two, confidentiality and trust. Need I say more? Confidentiality is a fundamental principle in coaching, ensuring that clients feel safe and able to share openly. Establishing trust in a secure environment is crucial for effective coaching relationships. Third is goal orientation. Yes, we look forward. Professional coaches and coaching is about goal orientation, or focusing on helping clients articulate and achieve their desired outcome. Coaches work with clients to set specific, measurable goals and develop action plans to reach them. Four is active listening and powerful questioning. Coaches actively listen to understand the client's perspective and experiences, and I would say this, fully. They also use powerful questioning techniques to provoke insightful reflections, foster self-awareness, and stimulate progress. Number five is a non-directive guidance. This is huge. Professional coaching is non-directive, meaning that coaches do not provide solutions or advice to clients. They shouldn't. Instead, they help clients explore options, perspectives, and strategies to empower them to make informed decisions. Six, accountability and feedback. Coaches hold clients accountable for their actions and their commitments, providing constructive feedback to support growth and progress. Accountability helps clients stay focused and motivated towards achieving their goals. And finally, continuous learning and development. I think all coaches, all professional coaches, should engage in ongoing learning, should engage in supervision and self-reflection to enhance their coaching skills and effectiveness. This continuous improvement is critical to a successful coaching practice. And here's a question I get asked all the time. Can anyone be a coach? And regarding whether anyone can do professional coaching successfully, while coaching skills can be learned, I'll admit that, and they can be developed through training, not everyone possesses the natural inclination or aptitude for coaching. Successful coaching often requires a combination of empathy, active listening, strong communication skills, emotional intelligence, and a genuine desire to help others grow and succeed. And while many individuals can learn the techniques of coaching, innate qualities like empathy and intuition and a passion for supporting others and their development can contribute to tremendous success in professional coaching. Now, as we get going, I want to really talk about this next topic, which is what is great coaching and why I believe that all great coaches should study positive psychology and the science of human flourishing. Let's dive deep into what positive psychology is as we begin. So first, positive psychology is a branch of psychology that focuses on the study of human strengths, virtues, and optimizing functioning to enhance well-being and promote a fulfilling life. It emerged in the late 20th century, so relatively new, as a response to the traditional deficit-based approaches to psychology that primarily focuses on mental illness and pathology. Here is a brief overview of the history of what I would consider the positive psychology and its founding assumptions. First, founding figures. Okay, let's talk about this. Positive psychology was formalized by psychologist Martin Seligman when he served as president of the American Psychological Association in 1998. Seligman and other influential psychologists like Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi and Christopher Peterson played critical roles in shaping the field. There's an emphasis on strength. Positive psychology is built on the assumption that by focusing on human strengths and virtues, individuals can cultivate resilience, grow happiness, and their overall well-being can improve. Rather than dwelling on weaknesses and disorders, positive psychology seeks to understand what does make life worth living. Third, it's a scientific approach, and positive psychology emphasizes rigorous scientific research to investigate positive emotions, character strengths, and the conditions that lead to flourishing. By applying the scientific method to studying positive traits, researchers aim to develop evidence-based practices that promote well-being, and that brings me to positive interventions. One of the founding assumptions of positive psychology is that individuals can benefit from engaging in positive interventions that foster things like optimism, gratitude, mindfulness, and other positive emotions. These interventions, they're designed to enhance psychological well-being and improve overall quality of life. And finally, focusing on flourishing. Instead of solely reducing symptoms of mental illness, positive psychology places a significant emphasis on promoting human flourishing and optimal functioning. This shift in focus aims to help individuals thrive and lead meaningful lives characterized by happiness, fulfillment, and purpose. See, I believe that overall, positive psychology represents a significant paradigm shift within psychology, moving beyond the deficit-focused approach to one that embraces human strengths and the pursuit of happiness and well-being. And by emphasizing positive emotions, character strengths, and personal growth, positive psychology has generated valuable insights into what contributes to a fulfilling life. Now, coaching is all about helping people achieve their goals, work through challenges, and ultimately lead fulfilling and satisfying lives, right? However, many coaches focus solely on practical aspects of their coaching, give them a diagram to introduce change, for example, but neglecting the importance of understanding science of human behavior. See, that's a mistake, and I believe that that's where positive psychology comes in. Positive psychology is the study of human flourishing, happiness, and well-being, and when we as coaches focus us on virtues and strengths that enable individuals and communities to thrive, everybody wins. So I believe that all coaches should study positive psychology and the study of human flourishing. Here's why. It helps coaches understand the motivational factors that drive their clients' behaviors. It's also why I love the Enneagram so much, because it's based on motivations and motivators, not just straight talents. I believe that positive psychology helps coaches develop deeper relationships with their clients. Quite frankly, it opens a door to what's possible in their client's life. It also enables coaches to help their clients develop greater resilience. And resilience is the ability to bounce back from difficult situations. And no matter how positive you are, we're all going to face difficult situations. It's one of the critical components of positive psychology. And finally, by studying positive psychology, all coaches can gain insights into the factors contributing to happiness and well-being. This knowledge can help coaches guide their clients to fulfilling the lives they want to live. I believe this, that incorporating the principles of positive psychology into our coaching practice, it's not too difficult, but it does take time and effort. It requires a commitment to learning and understanding the science of human behavior. However, when we do this, we can take our coaching practice to the next level, helping our clients achieve tremendous success, have fulfillment and happiness in their life. And that's why I say all of us should lean in a little bit towards positive psychology. And if you're looking for a coach, or if you're thinking about becoming a coach, it's why I recommend being certified or at least studying the valuable insights gleaned by studying the science of positive psychology. Now, let's each get out there, make this happen, and let's make somebody's life better, one client at a time. And now it's your turn to get out there and thrive in life. If you've liked what you've learned, would you consider subscribing to this podcast and leaving a review? I'd really appreciate it. And if you have anything you would like addressed, you can reach out to me, Mark Mathia, at mark@markmathia.com. And until next week, I'm cheering for you.